What if I told you the 1.9% processing rate sitting right there on your merchant contract is, well, a complete fiction?
I mean, it usually is.
Right. Because usually, when we talk about a business expense, there is a basic expectation of transparency. Like you buy a commercial oven, you look at the price tag, you write the check, and the math is just done.
Yeah, the transaction is totally clear.
But the moment you step into the world of merchant processing, that transparency just evaporates.
Welcome to this deep dive. I am your analyst co-host here at MyPayAdvisor.
And I am your senior payments advisor lead. Today, we are speaking directly to you, the U.S. merchant.
Right.
Specifically, we are talking to operators who process anywhere between, say, $25,000 and $5 million in monthly card volume.
And our mission today is highly specific. We are handing you an operator playbook. We want to show you how to pull rate quotes from competing processors in 2026 without getting taken advantage of.
And we are basing this entirely on hard data. We are looking at Visa interchange schedules, industry aggregates from the Nilson report, and real-world merchant processing quotes.
Yeah, we really need to start with a serious 2026 reality check here. Industry pricing surveys consistently show that effective rates for U.S. card-present merchants currently sit in the low 2% range.
Go low 2%, right?
Right. So if you are paying significantly more than that, you are not actually paying for the structural cost of accepting credit card.
Wait, really? Then what are you paying for?
You are simply funding a processor's profit margin.
Okay, let's unpack this right away.
Yeah.
Because I talk to merchants all the time who think they are doing their job. Like, they think they're shopping the market.
Oh, definitely. They really believe they are.
But what they actually do is, call up a buddy or a local sales rep, collect one single quote, and compare it to their current rate.
Right, which is the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, they see a slightly lower number, they sign the paper, and they feel like they won. But that is a dangerous illusion. That is not shopping the market.
Not at all.
That is just accepting whatever profit margin a salesperson felt like starting with.
Exactly. Before a merchant can negotiate their way down to that low 2% range, they have to calculate what they are actually paying right now. I mean,
Right.
the entire processing industry relies on the fact that merchants simply do not know their basic math.
So let's talk about the baseline. We have to separate the effective rate from the headline rate because honestly, the foundational costs are actually not a mystery at all.
No, they are completely public. The foundational cost is called interchange, and interchange is set directly by Visa and MasterCard.
Okay.
It is the exact same base cost for every single processor in the country. Visa explicitly states in their network rules that interchange reimbursement fees basically act as transfer fees.
Transfer fees between the acquiring banks and the issuing banks, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I want to clarify something here because this is where people get really confused. Merchants do not pay interchange fees directly to Visa or MasterCard.
That is correct. Merchants pay a merchant discount rate to their financial institution or, their processor.
Right.
Think of it this way. The core cost of the transaction is fixed by the card networks. The variable in your monthly bill is always the processor's markup, along with their equipment costs.
This is where I want to introduce a slightly different way to look at it. Because Visa and MasterCard are basically just the toll road.
The toll road, yeah, I like
They
that.
build the infrastructure and they charge a fixed toll to drive on it. But your processor is the rental car agency.
Right.
They are the ones actually handing you the keys to use the road, and they are notorious for tacking on, like, daily insurance fees, GPS fees, and charging you a massive premium if you do not return it with a full tank of gas.
That is a perfect way to visualize it. The toll road fee never changes, but the rental car agency fees, they change constantly.
Which brings me to a crucial question. If the base cost of the toll road is the exact same for everyone, how is it possible that three different processors can all quote a merchant a 1.99% rate, yet all three will result in a completely different monthly bill?
Because of the most important lesson in the payments industry, processors compete on disclosure, not just on price.
Wait, hold on. That is a massive distinction. You are saying the 1.99% printed on the contract is essentially irrelevant to the actual underlying cost.
Pretty much, yeah.
It is just a marketing number designed to get a signature.
Precisely. A headline rate tells you nothing about your final bill. To find out what you are actually paying, you have to bypass the marketing and calculate your true effective rate.
Okay, let's walk through that math together. It is actually very simple once you know what to look for.
It really is.
You take your most recent monthly statement, You sum up every single line item that your processor charged you, and do not skip anything.
Right, nothing.
That includes your discount fees, your transaction fees, your monthly fees, statement fees, gateway fees, and, you know, any compliance fees.
So you take that total dollar amount in fees and you divide it by your gross processing volume for the month.
Okay.
And that percentage is your effective rate.
Total fees divided by gross volume. So if you processed $100,000 and paid $2,500 in total fees, your effective rate is 2.5%.
It is that simple. And when operators actually do that math, they find that their effective rate is almost always 20 to 80 basis points higher than the headline rate written in their contract.
Wow, 20 to 80 basis points. And for anyone unfamiliar with the terminology, a basis point is just 1/100 of a percent.
Exactly.
So 50 basis points is 0.5%. The processor basically buries that extra 20 to 80 basis points in the fine print.
They do every single time.
Okay, so a merchant does this calculation. They realize they are paying an effective rate of 2.8% instead of the 1.9% they were promised. The natural instinct is to get angry, call a new processor, and just demand a better deal. But stepping into the market blindly leads directly into 5 common pricing traps.
This is exactly where merchants leave money on the table.
Right, let's go through them.
The first trap is the apples to oranges switch. This happens constantly when a merchant is currently on a tiered pricing structure, and then they get a new quote for an interchange plus pricing structure.
Let's break down why tiered pricing is such a problem. Under a tiered structure, the processor lumps your transactions into 3 arbitrary buckets.
Yes, the buckets.
They call them qualified, mid-qualified, and non-qualified.
Yeah.
And the processor gets to play God. They decide which of your customers' credit cards drop into which bucket.
Right. So a basic debit card might be qualified, but a rewards credit card drops right into mid-qualified.
Exactly.
And the qualified rate completely hides the processor's markup. It is all bundled together. But under Interchange Plus, the markup is transparently listed separately from the base Visa and MasterCard cost.
Tiered processing rates are, well, they are like a terrible cable television package.
Oh, that is a great comparison.
Right. You sign up because you only want to watch 3 specific channels, but the cable company forces you to pay for 300 channels you never even turn on.
Yeah, exactly.
Interchange Plus is entirely different. Interchange Plus is like paying a flat, transparent delivery fee for exactly what you consume. You pay the actual cost of the network, plus a clear, distinct markup.
So a processor might show a merchant a 1.79% qualified rate on a tiered plan, and a competing processor might quote 20 basis points over interchange.
Okay.
Both of those quotes might mathematically equal a 2.40% effective rate, but the merchant signs the tiered contract thinking they save money because 1.79 obviously looks lower than 2.4.
Right, they see the lower number.
In reality, they save $0. They just fell for a different presentation of the exact same margin.
Which brings us directly to the second trap, non-qualified surcharges. Let's say you decide to stay on a tiered quote because that qualified rate looks so incredibly low.
Bad idea.
You have to realize that the attractive qualified rate might only cover 60 to 70% of your actual transactions.
Exactly. And what happens to the other 30 to 40% of your sales?
They get dumped into a mid-qualified or non-qualified bucket.
Yes. And those buckets are heavily penalized. They typically run 50 to 150 basis points higher than the qualified rate.
Wow.
So the processor quoted you a low rate on the front end, but they built a back door to charge you significantly more on a third of your total revenue.
That is brutal. Okay, the third trap is the mystery of PCI fees. Processors often just skip mentioning the payment card industry compliance fee in their headline quote.
Yeah, they leave it out entirely.
And then it mysteriously appears on month 2 of your statement.
What is fascinating here is the broader context driving this behavior. When we look at the Nielsen report, you know, they have been tracking acquirer rankings and industry data for 55 years.
Right.
They note that global payment card fraud is projected to reach $1.71 billion over the next 10 years.
That is a staggering amount of fraud. But how does a processor actually use that against a merchant?
Processors use that high fraud environment to their advantage. They bury various security, compliance, or risk fees under the guise of this rising global fraud.
Oh, I see.
They tell the merchant it is just the cost of doing business securely. It sounds completely reasonable to a business owner.
Yeah, nobody wants to be insecure.
Exactly. This is why requiring the exact PCI fee in a written proposal is non-negotiable. If it is not defined in writing, the processor will absolutely inflate it later.
The fourth trap is the rate increase clause. Processors typically reserve the right to raise your rates with just 30 to 60 days written notice.
Yes, they do.
You sign a 36-month contract, but the price is really only good for the first 2 months. Unless you explicitly negotiate a cap on those increases, the processor can slowly widen their margin every single year.
And you do not even notice it happening.
Right, because it happens a few basis points at a time.
And the final trap is the early termination fee, or ETF. These are standard on contracts from independent sales organizations and direct acquirers. We see this constantly in the field.
All the time.
A merchant wakes up and realizes they're overpaying in month 14 of a 36-month term. They try to switch to a cheaper processor, but they have to pay a massive ETF.
Right.
The penalty fee is so large that it wipes out all the savings they would have gained in the first year with the new processor. They are just financially trapped.
Because processors compete aggressively on how they disclose fees rather than competing on actual price, there is really only one way to avoid these five traps.
Yes.
You have to force the processors into a rigid, standardized format.
The mechanics of a real rate pull require six specific steps. If an operator skips any one of these steps, the comparison falls apart.
Right.
The math gets muddy and the processor regains the advantage.
Let's walk through the mechanics. Right. Step one is collecting your inputs. You need to pull your last three PDF statements. And do not just look at last month.
No, you need 3 months to smooth out seasonality.
Right.
Your mix of credit versus debit cards shifts depending on the time of year, and that shifts your costs.
Step two is establishing your baseline. Calculate your current effective rate, just like we discussed earlier, total fees divided by gross processing volume.
You cannot negotiate if you do not know your exact starting line.
Step three is where you take control. You build a one-page standardized request. You dictate the terms to them.
Right. You are in charge.
You request interchange plus pricing only. No tiered pricing allowed.
Yeah.
You demand that their markup is quoted in basis points plus a specific cents per transaction fee.
Yes.
And you require a standard 36-month term so you can compare apples to apples.
Step four is critical, and this is really where most merchants fail. You send that standardized request to 3 to 5 different processors. But you have to mix the channels.
Mix the channels, okay.
You need a quote from a bank-owned acquirer. You need one from a direct acquirer, which is a company that owns its own processing technology. You need one from an independent sales organization, or ISO, which is essentially a reseller. And you need one quote from a flat rate aggregator.
I want to stop you right there. Why should a listener bother getting a quote from a flat rate aggregator like Square or Stripe if the instructions specifically say you should never use them as a finalist?
It is a fair question.
Because we know they charge a flat 2.6 or 2.9%, which is really high for a mature business.
The flat rate quote serves purely as a benchmark. It establishes your absolute ceiling.
Okay, your ceiling.
Flat rate aggregators are generally the most expensive way for an established merchant to process payments. If the customized quotes from the bank or the direct acquirer are not clearly beating the flat rate aggregator, you are talking to the wrong processors entirely.
Right.
It is an immediate test of whether the other quotes are even worth looking at.
That makes perfect sense. It is the fail-safe. Step five is strictly enforcing the rules of engagement. Receive written proposals only. No phone calls. Phone calls are where salespeople make promises that mysteriously never appear in the final contract. If they will not put the pricing in writing on your standardized form, you disqualify them.
And step six is where the magic happens. You normalize everything in a single spreadsheet using your actual processing volume.
Okay.
You apply their proposed rates to the exact number of transactions and the exact card mix from your three PDF statements.
Doing this correctly generates incredible results.
Yeah.
When you create the standardized spreadsheet on a $250,000 monthly statement, you typically reveal a spread between the cheapest and the most expensive quote of $1,800 to $4,500 per month.
Yeah, the gap between a proper shopper who follows these six steps and a merchant who just signs the first quote they receive is typically 30 to 60 basis points.
Wow.
That is pure profit dropping straight to your bottom line simply because you force them to show their math.
Theory is great, but operators need to see this math applied to a real business. Let's break down a real-world case study to see where the actual profit is made.
We have a perfect breakdown of a suburban Ohio quick service restaurant, a QSR.
Okay.
This business does $185,000 in monthly card volume. Their average ticket is $42. And their card mix is very typical for a QSR, coming in at 78% debit and 22% credit.
That debit percentage is huge. Because of the Durbin Amendment, Debit interchange costs are capped for large banks.
Right.
This QSR should have had incredibly low underlying costs, but their current setup was with a regional ISO, and they were on a tiered pricing plan.
Of course they were.
The owner pulled their three statements, summed every line item, and calculated their current effective rate, 2.61%. Their total monthly cost was $4,828.
They were getting crushed. So the QSR owner built the standardized request and demanded interchange plus pricing from three competitors.
Right.
They normalized the written proposals against their $185,000 volume in a spreadsheet. Processor A, a national ISO, projected an effective rate of 2.12%. Processor B, a bank-owned acquirer, projected 2.05%.
And processor C, a direct acquirer, won the initial spreadsheet. They quoted a 2.0% effective rate. For this QSR, just signing with Processor C represented an annual savings of $13,536 compared to their current regional ISO.
That is a massive difference. A lot of merchants would just stop right there. They found $13,000 in savings, they feel great about it, and they sign the paperwork.
So what does this all mean? Here is the most important twist in the entire story. The QSR owner did not sign with Processor C. They did not accept the cheapest initial quote.
Nope. Instead, the operator took that written quote from Processor C and went back to Processor B. They went back to the bank-owned acquirer.
Right.
The operator showed Processor B the winning quote and simply asked for a match.
They used the written proof as negotiating power. They forced the processors to compete against each other in real time.
Precisely. And the result of that second round is where true negotiation happens. Processor B looked at the competing written offer and dropped their markup down to just 16 basis points.
Wow, 16 basis points.
Yeah. And they waived the monthly fee entirely for the first 12 months. More importantly, they offered a 30-day written rate lock.
Meaning no pass-through markups on Visa or MasterCard fee increases for the life of the contract.
Exactly.
The final monthly cost dropped to $3,545.
The initial rate quote does not save the merchant money. The negotiating power built by holding three written quotes in your hand does.
Yes.
Calling one processor and signing their paperwork is not negotiating. It is simply accepting the margin a salesperson chose to start with.
Right.
The QSR extracted the final best offer strictly because they had documented proof of a better alternative.
That brings us to our operator so what for this week. This is the actionable directive you need to execute right now. Log into your processor portal today. Download your last three statements as PDF files.
And do not accept screenshots. Do not accept summary emails from your sales rep.
Definitely not.
Processor portals are often designed to make finding your full statement difficult, but you own those statements. Dig into the reporting tab and download the full PDFs yourself.
Take those PDFs and calculate your effective rate. Total fees divided by gross processing volume. Write that percentage on a sticky note and stick it right on your monitor.
Yes, keep it visible.
That number is your starting line. You cannot improve your costs until you know exactly where you stand today.
We want to leave you with one final detail to investigate on your own. Earlier, we looked at the Visa rules regarding processing fees.
Right.
Visa explicitly requires a merchant to notify their acquirer 30 days before they begin surcharging customers. It is a strict time-bound rule dictated by the network.
Which raises a crucial question for your business. If Visa operates with highly specific, time-bound rules regarding how you communicate with your acquirer, how many other highly specific deadlines or rate increase clauses are buried deep in the fine print of your current merchant agreement?
Just waiting for you to miss them.
It is a question worth answering before your next statement arrives. Thank you for joining the operators at My Pay Advisor for this deep dive.